Welcome to Making Life Happen with your girl, Trainer B, where life meets destiny, transforming dreams into reality. A place to discuss life and living it as it relates to our overall physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Let's get into it.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Making Life Happen with your girl, Trainer B. I'm your host, Veronica Burnett Hunter, Master Trainer and Motivational Extraordinaire. If this is your first time joining, I would like to welcome you. I hope that you will find this experience extremely educational and beneficial to growing forward, not just going forward, but growing forward. If you are a returning listener, thank you for being a faithful participant. If you have not subscribed to my channel yet, you're missing out on some good stuff. If you are watching by way of YouTube, please click the subscribe button at the bottom right corner of your screen, and you will be notified of new episodes that are posted. If you are listening by way of podcast, you can also subscribe to my channel on whatever platform you're using to stream so you can stay up to date with the latest and greatest episode. It would be so awesome if you would share these with your family, your friends. I want to reach as many as possible with tools of encouragement so that we all can walk through with purpose in this lifelong journey of, let's say it together, making life happen. All right, let's get into it. Now, today we have a special guest. It's the first time I've had a guest on my show, and I'm excited about it. Some of you might have heard of him. I'm talking about none other than the Unknown Preacher, L.A. He is a retired police chief, licensed minister, and Christian rapper. He speaks at numerous events as a minister, leadership consultant, and a certified instructor on implicit biases. And we all know we need education on these things because we experience it every day, especially now with the state of affairs the way that they are. And in March of 2024, he launched his Unknown Preacher LA podcast. And by June of 2024, it began airing on Radio One, which we all know is 103.9 Delight. An Unknown Preacher LA, aka Alonzo James, has used his platform to promote free events around the state. I'm gonna say state right now, but I'm gonna go big and say around the world. Hiring gospel artists, giving away food, offering prizes, and ministering the gospel through music. Now, if you have not heard of him, I would like to present to some of you and introduce to others who I affectionately call AZ. Welcome, AZ. Welcome. I'm so glad for you to join us.
Coach V, thank you for having me. And it's an honor. I'm your first guest, right?
I'm my first guest.
Wow, man. One for the record. So, yeah, thank you again for having me.
You are so welcome. So you know what my podcast is all about. It's all about making life happen, right?
Yes.
And one of the things that I love learning, and I love how other people learn, and I love to talk to individuals about, you know, their learning style, what they've learned along their journey, especially as it relates to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And I know that I have been a guest on your podcast, and we talked about that. And by the way, we're going to do it again, everybody.
Yes, we are.
So I'm on this journey now where I am so intrigued at how people develop their relationship with God and how the steps that they take, because what I've come to know is that there's no cookie cutter.
Yes.
And then there is no right or wrong way to develop your relationship. And so I love to glean from other people. I love to hear about their experiences, because what happens is when we share our experiences, we give other people hope. So I effectively call myself sometimes a hope dispenser. So I want to hear about you. So let's talk about your relationship. When did your relationship with God begin, and what kind of prompted you to make the decision to allow God into your life?
Wow, I absolutely love that question. I definitely have to go back to the age of 7. I was 7 years old, and my Aunt Helen, she was really like a grandmother to me. And I just remember her at 7 years old, she putting me on her lap and opening the Bible and just start reading. And I just remember being so intrigued by just the stories of the Bible. And moving forward a few years from there, we all remember what the Ten Commandments. They used to play it on Easter every
Right.
Sunday. And my aunt would, and because it was Easter, I remember her like putting the Easter eggs in front of me. And we're eating boiled eggs, watching the Ten Commandments. And to me, that was just such a great story. And Moses was just this iconic figure, you know. And the funny part is the relationship still wasn't there. I just the characters in the Bible, I think I was fascinated by that. My mother, who was told to go to church every day, you know, that's old school. Her family, she promised that she would never, you know, force her kids to go to church. And so she never took me to church. I think I was about 12 or 13, and I took the initiative to go to church on my own. And when I went to this church, they had this mentor program, and they assigned me to a mentor. I really wish I could remember his name. I can't, but I know he was from Africa. And we went and worked out, and you know, he was talking to me about my relationship. And I thought it was, you know, you do this, you're going to hell. You know, and he broke it down, and he basically said, you know, it's your love for God. And we did the sinner's prayer right then and there, and my life changed from the time I was 12 or 13 years old. You know, we're not perfect. You dibble and dabble, you backslide, and you do different things, but the salvation, the relationship was always there. What I found myself running from the calling. I think I knew many years, a long time ago, that I was called into the ministry, and I just tried to do everything I can to push that off. And it was funny because I would be in public and strangers, men and women would come to me and say, "Hey, can I ask you a question? Are you a minister?" And it to me, I don't know who these angels were. I just really think God was using them as vessels to keep reminding me, "Hey, this was your calling."
He good like that,
Yeah,
right?
he is absolutely good like that. And so, but I've just always reading the Bibles, the stories in the Bible, and I just know that no matter what you're going through in life, the answers are in that book. There's not one thing you can talk about as far as current events that you can't find in the Bible and how to address it. And I do remember, like, you know, the story of Solomon, and he could have asked for anything, and he asked for discernment. And I remember as a young man just praying for that wisdom. And God, through so many experiences, you talked about it in the beginning, the law enforcement and meeting people and diversity and implicit bias. I've just met so many people, and I think God has those experiences has given me insight on a number of issues. And I just feel blessed that my relationship and what I've asked for, and all the things that God has given me, and then some. That was a
Right.
long answer. That was a sorry.
No, that's a good answer. That's good stuff. Shoot. Because I can relate to so much of that because I grew up in the traditional church and I can tell you, I used to get saved a lot. Because I didn't understand what salvation is like. Come to Jesus. Okay, give your heart to Jesus. Okay. Well, next Sunday, okay, I've been bad. Let me go get saved again. Okay, well, oh God, I've been bad again. Let me go get saved again. And then to understand or think about my ideology of God was he was some Zeus standing in heaven with a bunch of lightning bolts in his backpack. Strike me dead every time I get ready to do it. I said, oh, I need to repent so much. And so I can so relate to that. And just growing up in the church, like I grew, we started going to church. Probably, I can remember back, like you said, about around the age of five. And the little school bus would come pick us up, take us to what is it, Vacation Bible School.
Oh,
And
yeah.
oh man, did you do that? Did you enjoy Vacation Bible School too?
I was a volunteer as an adult. I never went as a child. And so I did it as an adult, and I tell you, I had my hands full, but it was pretty cool.
I learned a lot. What I loved most about Vacation Bible School was the arts and crafts. And then, of course, the big cookout. So I can relate so much to your story. It's so good that God always have somebody in place to get us to where we need to be, and for you,
Oh,
that was your aunt.
yes.
And
Yes.
that was a beautiful thing. And look at where you are now.
But
Is your aunt
God, say that again, V. I'm sorry.
still living?
No, she passed when I was in my early 20s. When my first child was born, she passed like maybe a month after that. And I remember because as soon as we took him home from the hospital, I was just so excited, and I wanted her to see him. And she wasn't feeling well, and I just remember her saying, "You know, maybe later. I'm not able to." But yeah, she died many years ago.
One cool thing about that great cloud of witnesses, but she's up there cheering you on.
Oh man. I truly believe it. She was my mother as a single parent working like double shifts, and so we spent so much time. We called her mother. That's what we called her because she was just so instrumental in exposing us, especially me, into because my siblings were much younger, but to faith and into life in general. It's just so many takeaways from Aunt Helen.
Right, and those are
Yeah.
memories you will never forget.
Never,
And
never, ever.
even right, and even though she's gone, you can pass them along to your kids, your grandkids. They just stay with you forever. So I
Yeah.
absolutely love that part. If
Yeah.
everybody needs Aunt Helen.
Yes, they do. And bold too, and like just strength. And you know, I just admire that. And I think that's why I gravitate towards people who are just really direct and tell it like it is, because that was her. And you know where they're coming from. They're less likely to like stab you in the back. Those people, man, I just and if they trust you enough to invite you in their circle, you know, that's a big deal because they don't just let anyone in their circle. So, yeah.
So awesome. So let's talk about now. So you growing your relationship, you're in a relationship with God now, and what steps or what tips and tools can you provide to help someone develop their relationship? What do you do to take your relationship to that next level, or what I call growing deeper in God?
Yeah, that's another good question. I definitely will always say this, it starts with opening that Bible. Oftentimes, and I think in our faith, we don't equip ourselves enough. You know, so many of us are saved. We're Christians, we're saved, but few of us actually go into that book and really understand not just that book, but go back and understand what was going on in that time, who was being talked to, what were the conditions, and the translation, you know, whether in Hebrew or Greek or Arabic, just really understanding the book. That's the first thing. And not just reading it once. Like right now, I'm on this journey. I can't remember when I started. Maybe 2 months ago or a month ago, I said, I'm going to start from the beginning and read it to the end again. And so now I'm on Matthew. And I'm like, we have to do this continuously because we're always getting something, a different message every time we read it. And that's what I love about the Bible because the Holy Spirit speaks to us in so many different ways. And he gives us messages depending on what's going on in our life at that particular time. So, I can tell you, I've like read like Abraham and the Promised Land, and I picked up on one message, and then another time I read it again. It's like, oh, I didn't think about it like that. And so, yeah, and I was able to actually deliver a Father's Day message out of that story just because the Holy Spirit hit me in a whole different direction. And I just love reading the book and getting those different messages and then delivering those messages. That's one thing, but I'm really big on prayer. I definitely pray at least twice a day, but we really need to isolate ourselves. And
You
I
talking my
don't
language.
do it as much. What you say, Coach B? I'm sorry.
You are talking my language.
Oh, yes, we really do. But I don't like now because I've been juggling so much. I haven't isolated myself like I should. But really, when I isolate myself and it's just me and God, and there's so many takeaways when you do that. Things, you really get clarity. And it's no different than being in a job and you're just in the weeds at work doing everything. And I've had mentors who told me, hey, take some time off and you're actually going to be a better performer at work. And then just stepping away from work, and sure enough, you step away from work, ideas come to you, you can process things better. Then you come back to work rejuvenated. And I think it's the same thing with our faith, stepping away from everyone, let it be you and God, understanding what your purpose is and what's needed in the world, and then going out and making that difference, living your purpose, delivering the message. So that's the other thing. And then I definitely say this. Acts of kindness. I'm really big on making a difference in the lives of others, allowing God to use me as a vessel, whether I'm giving words of encouragement, just listening, because a lot of people just want to be able to talk and want to hear you listen, or because I'm really big on this, helping out those in need. And so if I can financially, whatever, or resource, if I can provide it to someone who is truly in need, I think that's a great deed. So yeah, those are the things I would say.
That sounds like the gift of helps.
Yeah.
You fully function and flow in that gift of helps.
I love it. I love
So
it.
yeah, and which just sitting here listening to you, it sparked another question. So what do you think, like for those that you say, there are those that don't really like to read the Bible, and they, beyond developing their relationship, going to church and hearing the preacher, what do you have anything that you could think of? Because this is a question I've asked God. What is it that we can do? Because we can infect people with cold, flu, viruses. We can infect people, and we can impart people the negative things. Why can't we impart the good things? So I've always looked for that hook line to just pull a real people in. And I call it, I used to pray a prayer like, Lord, make me an appetizer.
Yeah, I love that.
So it's like the scripture that talks about, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's like, y'all, this is good and good and gumdrops. Y'all need to get some of this. But it's like, how do you get them to thirst? How do you get them to want that desire? Right?
That is a great question. So, like for me, as you said earlier, Christian rapper. So when I first started that, young people were just so ecstatic because it's a great alternative to what they're hearing now in music. And then families embraced it because they knew that we're not saying anything vulgar, we're not leading, their children down the wrong path. So it was that's definitely one way. Music, the power of music, even if you look at like Motown, I love the story of Motown because they talk about in some ways it was just as important to the civil rights movement as Dr. Martin Luther King because music and Motown tore down racial walls. You had whites and blacks together dancing to Motown. And so Music is a powerful, such a powerful tool. That's one. But the other thing, and you and I are doing it now, the podcast, because this generation, there's so many outlets to receive information. And so the podcast is one, like YouTube. There's also like audiobooks. So I'm sure you can get the Bible audio and listen to it that way. But yeah, so there's so much out here to bring people back home. But of course, you know, we're at war, right? We're at war. So there are other the other side have things that are enticing. So we're competing against that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like that's why I love one thing I love about prayer is that I know God answers prayers.
Yes.
And one thing we can do is he said one could chase a thousand, two could put 10,000 to flight. So we get
Man.
together and we come together in prayer. Oh man, we can tear up some stuff.
Absolutely,
And
absolutely.
it's just amazing. But what I've learned about this generation too, and it's not really just this generation, is that we're in a time where people want to see something. They're
Yeah.
tired of the talk. They're tired of God's fixing, God's gonna. God, what about God is doing? Not he's
Yes.
getting ready to. What about what he's doing? Let's
Yes.
talk about
Yeah.
that. That's what people really want to see. And when I look at your life, when I look at all the things that you have accomplished, you got to know it's God.
It's absolutely God. I wasn't supposed to be here. I can tell you that. And I can tell you about my friends, and many of them are now they're not no longer with us. They were in prison, drug addiction. I mean, I can go on and on, and that was my circle of friends. And so statistically, I wasn't supposed to be here. Educationally, I came from a home where my mother had a GED. No one in the house had a college degree. I wasn't supposed to be here. No background at whatsoever in law enforcement. Many people in my academy, they had previous law enforcement or 4-year degrees. I had none of that. I really wasn't supposed to be here. So it's definitely God all day long, all day long.
And you have those memorial stones to look back on.
Yeah.
And I think in our conversation, that's why I love talking to you because I when I talk to you, it's like, oh God, I'm talking to one of my tribe. So,
Yes,
because
indeed.
we could sit on the phone, you and I, we could talk for hours.
Yeah,
And I
yes.
just love it. We just get to talking about the goodness of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me. And just hearing it from another person's perspective and the fact that you're so open-minded. And you know, because we want to be so quick to shut people down. And that's what I
Yeah.
call religion.
Yes,
It's not
yes.
about religion, it's about relationship. So why condemn someone because they're not pursuing God the way that you are? No, they don't pray three times and turn to the
Yeah.
West and go, listen, as long as someone else is doing to do, develop their relationship, who are we to poo-poo
Amen.
on them? And so that's why I'm like, let's share, let's talk about this thing so people can understand it's not a cookie cutter. I'm pretty sure that you've gotten this before. Well, you know, you're a minister, you're supposed to be, or you're supposed to hear from God, or you're supposed to be at a certain level. It's like, no,
Yeah.
we're all supposed to be on that same pl as a plane where we're developing our relationship. I remember talking to this guy one time, and I asked him, he was I was waiting on the pastor at a church one night, and I asked him, I said, are you a deacon here? He said, oh no, I'm not a deacon. He said, but I'm the head of the usher. He said, I'm not ready to be a deacon. I said, okay, why can't you be a deacon? He said, well, you know, the things I used to do, I still do sometimes. He was a little confused. I said, wait. But you said you handled the usher board. You handled the usher board, right? I said, okay, well, the same criteria that determines you being a head of the usher board should be the same criteria of being a deacon. Well, help me understand. They're not. So what you're saying is that as long as you stay on the usher board, you can still sin and do whatever you need to do. But the minute you become a deacon, you gotta clean that up.
Oh, God.
But look at how many people think like that.
Yeah, and what I tell them is, remember the Great Commission, right? You know, what did Jesus instruct the disciples to do? And us, we're supposed to be out there spreading the gospel, and we could even talk about Peter, because remember, Peter was the one that a lot of people remember out of all the disciples. But when it was time for him to go, God didn't say, "Hey, you're outspoken. You're questioning people too much." No, he said, "Go out in the world and spread the gospel." Right. So that's what we have to really, because if we follow that logic, none of us will be out there sharing the gospel, bringing people to God. I think so many. That's the one thing, and that's why I think we're not as prepared. When you look at other religions, they really prepare their people to know whatever it is, whatever it is, the Quran or whatever the book is of faith. They know it from front and back, and they're equipped to go out and I think that's why they convert so many Christians, because they hit them with, what they know, and sometimes they know the Bible better than Christians know the Bible. And we lose them, but we have to do better about learning the word and really understanding, meeting people where they are. I really love that part of this. And that's what really made me start the podcast, because I was talking to so many young people, and they were like, we want to see the church out in the street and feeding the homeless and doing these, that, and I know there's, churches who are doing that. I absolutely know, and I applaud them, but it's still, there's still room to look different, that we can still package this a little differently. So,
And the beautiful thing about each person is that our walk and our assignment is so different, but yet it's still the same. It's like we're getting to the same destination. We're just going down a different. We're doing it. We're going down. We're driving in a different lane. Say, for
that's right.
instance, God has called you to do a certain thing, and the way you do it is unique to you. He's called me to do a certain thing, and the way that I do it is unique to me. And so, like, when you know the story about the young man, about the usher, but I'm like, didn't condemn him, didn't make him feel bad, just they dropped a few nuggets. It's like, okay, well, just consider, never will tell you that you're wrong, just consider, because people's defenses are already up. And if you go in battle ready and ready to fight, it's like they're gonna shut completely down. And so one of the things that I love, and just in listening to your podcast, you give people the platform to be honest, be open, and to just express themselves.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that right there is like a breath of fresh air. Because when you walk into a church, sometimes you walk into the building, you already feel like you're being judged anyway.
Yes.
And that's what we don't want to do. We don't want to turn people off. We really want to just come in, get what you need, and just develop that relationship. So again, I love speaking with individuals, and when we talk, it's like, okay, well, let's talk about this. How did you do this, and how did you do that? So, because it intrigues me, I'm always willing to learn and grow, and it's like, yeah. And then my next question is I want to hear you talk about what your greatest passion and how you intertwine that into what you're doing, and how and what and the result, what has happened, what have you seen, what type of outcomes have you seen?
Wow, you're asking some really cool questions. And so I've always felt like law enforcement was the greatest passion. I absolutely love policing. I was in SVU and homicide, and had these remarkable stories and experiences. But then, ministering through music came along, and I was like, wow, I'm really loving this. And I definitely would have to say the ministry and hosting the podcast, that outlet of the ministry, is probably my greatest passion now, because like you said, everyone gets a voice. I get to really spotlight people who are doing so many wonderful things in the name of Christ. And it's just great. Like you just said earlier about when we talk and just hearing these stories and how God has taken people who wasn't supposed to be there, right? Like they were just fishermen or tax collectors, and now they're really representatives. I just love that part of it. But I also will have to say, you mentioned how do they intertwine? And I have to say, those stories, those experiences I've had has really helped me connect with so many people. And then when they're on the podcast, because I do know a lot of people, so all those connections have, like, I think I shared with you when I first started my podcast, I didn't know who was going to be my guest. I didn't know anything about that part of it. But then within a week, I was really booked all the way from, I started the podcast in March, and I was booked all the way up until like October or November, just like that. And so it just comes from knowing so many people and the good things that they're doing in the name of Christ. So and then sharing, having that opportunity to share my stories as well, it just gels so well together, and just makes for a good message for those who normally don't go to church. And I do hear that from some people, say, hey, I normally don't go to church. I heard the podcast. That was a great message. And some have even considered going to church, and some have, I've had pastors on, and I've just this past week, because I think the last pastor I had was Pastor Nate Davis of Now. And I spoke to like four people last week who said, hey, I'm going to his church now. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that's what it's about. You
That's
know,
what it's
there.
about. And the
Yeah.
key
So,
is what's up.
yeah. So I hope I answer your question. I don't know, but
Yeah.
yeah. So.
You know, one of the things too that I love about you and your podcast is that we can agree to disagree and it's
Yes.
still be okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And the fact that you want to hear someone else's story or someone else's point of view, it all that allows you to open have an open mind. And that's again, that's one of the things that is so wonderful about you. You have an open mind, you want to hear the other person's side, whether you agree with it or not, you're open to hear what they have to say. And you don't get a lot of that, especially in a lot of the traditional churches. It's like it's gonna be this way or no way. That's not how we do it. It's like,
Yeah.
but why not? Nobody said it was wrong. Show me in the Bible where it's wrong. But just
Yeah.
because you don't do it, don't make it wrong. So, yeah.
No, it's you just made me think. So I'm glad you said that. So when I had Pastor Davis on, I don't know if you heard that episode, but we were talking about, because what he does is he'll dress down, he'll have a sweatsuit in the pulpit preaching. But then the next week he's wearing a suit. And I made a comment about the dressing down, which I really love that. And he pointed out that, you know, hey, everyone's welcome, even if we have people who wear suits too. And I had to self-reflect and say, hey, I think I've been a little critical myself on people dressing up in church. And I'll tell you why, V, because I used to look at it as, hey, you know, because I saw it maybe in some cases, not all, as a distraction. Like, this person's dress, because I used to see it in church. Man, look at that suit he has, or look at that hat she's wearing. And you can get caught up in that and miss the whole purpose of Sunday service. And so I was like, maybe I'm being a little too critical. So I started doing research. I actually got this book called Black Church by Henry Louis Gates. And I started reading that. And so the history of why us as a people, why we're dressing up, and what they were saying in the book was that in a world where, back in the day, where we could go to the store and be called the N-word or out of our name, the church was that safe place. And the suit, wearing the suit and the dress with the hat, made you feel important. And because everywhere else we didn't feel important. And so you would say Mr. and Mrs. And so it was an eye opener for me, and it made me really look at myself and say, hey, maybe I'm being. So to your point, I love those different opinions, because when he brought, had he not, kind of steered me in another direction and corrected me on, how his church looks, I would have never got that book. I would have never read it. I would have never seen, hey, here's the history behind it. And so I had to take a step back. So yeah, I just wanted to share that.
Well, I mean, and that's what it's all about. It's we really, I often ask God, I'm like, okay, help me unlearn some stuff because I learned it wrong. And so I need you to help me unlearn. A prime example was when I went back to church in 97, April 3rd, 1997 is when I rededicated my life. And I first visited the church first before I actually joined. And when I visited with my friend, it was a woman pastor. I was like, no, women can't pastor. Because I didn't want a pastor. And we were taught that women cannot pastor. And so, but I ended up at that church, and that was one of the best experiences of my broke a lot of strongholds, mental strongholds, a lot of things. That's why that relationship with God is so vital and so important, because he helps us to get over those strongholds of religion. And it's just a beautiful thing. It's absolutely a beautiful thing. So I want you to share your podcast, how to connect and different things like that, because I'm telling you all, y'all missing out on some good guests. And it's he has from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, he just invites you on to just be you and talk about what you want, what's on your heart. I will. And so we're gonna be doing some more of these. But I really want him to share. And I'm telling you, the Unknown Preacher has a large following. So if you're not following, you might want to consider doing so. So yeah, talk about how we can find you and yeah, anything you want us to know.
First, thank you again, and I really appreciate what you're doing. I love the format here. I'm telling you, man, this is really big. This is a big deal, and I just can't wait to see this full actualization of Coach V, man. So I'm excited about it. And I'm learning from you as well. So the Unknown Preacher LA podcast, we're on all podcast platforms, whether it's Amazon, Apple, Spotify, check it out. If you don't have those options, no apps, you can go on Audio Boom. That's our distributor. And you can just search in the search key, type in the Unknown Preacher LA. And if you don't do that and you're in the Research Triangle Park area, you can listen to us on the Light 103.9 FM, 6:30 a.m. Saturday mornings. And I'll tell you, we have some postal workers and truck drivers who have reached out and said they listen to it around that time, because all of us don't get up early on Saturdays. But if you miss those, but yeah, that's how you check us out. And as Coach V said in the beginning, we also promote programs at different churches and venues throughout the state. And we will be in Henderson and on March 7th doing a music again event there. So yeah, that's how you get to check us out.
Okay, so one beautiful thing about if you miss an episode, it's recorded and you can go back and play them. So I would encourage you all to just go back, listen to some of the episodes, reach out to him, see what you can do to support any of the events and things that he's having, because he's big on outreach. And there are some opportunities that have come forth that we can help. We can just jump in and just see what we can do, right? So
Amen.
I am looking forward to what God is doing in your life and how God is going to excel and propel you
Thank
to
you.
your next, because the best is yet to come.
Thank you. Thank you.
is really yet to come. So I'm excited. And if you want to reach out to me, I can put you in touch with them and put you in touch with his podcast. But like I said, he's going to be back. He'll be back on another episode, and I'm looking so forward to it. Is there anything, I'm going to yield the floor. Is there anything else that you want to share with your audience before we go?
No, the only thing I will say is just whatever you're going through, whatever dilemma you have right now, and especially, I think we're in trying times right now for a number of reasons. Yeah. And I will say we just, you know, trust God and just stay encouraged. Open that book. I'm telling you, there's nothing that we're going through or that we will go through that's not recorded in that book and that can give you the strength to get through it. So,
amen.
Yeah. Thank you so again, Coach V. We really appreciate you.
I really appreciate you too. I know one other thing I want to talk about, we're going to have to do it the next podcast because like I really want to talk about, because we all go through these faith walks and sometimes our faith get a little shaky and tested.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I want to talk about that. So maybe that'll be our next episode.
That's a good one. Yeah, I would love to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to have to schedule that. So.
Okay.
But I really want to thank you again for coming on and joining us. I look forward to our next and seeing what God has to offer. I mean, what you have to offer. And look forward to just feedback from different individuals. And, just making life happen, right?
Amen. Amen.
So I want to thank all my listeners for tuning in and just being a part of Always Making Life Happen with Trainer B. Just stay tuned for more episodes that are coming. We're going to have more guests. I'm going to stay in this vein and just showcase people and talk about their relationship with God and how we can help each other develop and grow along with some other things as it pertains to making life happen. Okay. So thank you again, and I will see you next time.